The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate what is one of my favorite days in the church year, All Saints Sunday. This is also one of the oldest festivals in our calendar, meaning that for more than a millennia, Christians have gathered together at the beginning of November to remember all the saints that have gone before us. And we all know the names of the saints that the church remembers. Their names adorn cities and hospitals and congregations. We read about them in the Bible or in church histories. So to kick off this remembrance, I would invite you to shout out the name of some of the saints that you know. Yes, Fran. Yes. Mother Teresa, yes. Who else?
Saint Joseph.
Yes, Saint Joseph. Saint Elizabeth, yes. Yes. Wonderful. We often think of saints as these paragons of virtue or some perfect person that we should try to emulate, people that we can only hope to follow in their holiness. We think that to be a saint, one must be as humble and as generous as Saint Francis, or as prolific in writing and missionary work as Saint Paul, or to be as faithful and virtuous as Saint Mary, the mother of our Lord. We think that sainthood is reserved for those who have lived their lives in such a way as to be separated from the rest of us regular people. But as heirs of the Reformation, we Lutherans have a more expansive definition of what it means to be a saint. We understand sainthood not to just be what a saint does or what a person does in their life, but about what God has done in our lives. Lutherans understand that all Christians are saints through the virtue of our baptism, that in those waters God claims us as God's own and blesses us with the love and mercy and declares us to be righteous. We believe that each Christian is simultaneously both a saint and a sinner, someone who struggles with sin in our daily lives, but someone whom God has made holy. That through our baptism, we are all made saints of God, imperfect though we may be. And living into our vocation as baptized Christians, we can inspire those around us through our love, our good works, or our journey to be better Christ followers. And Jesus expands our list of saints even further when he calls the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the hated blessed, and names them as saints of God. The same people that the world rejects or forgot as insignificant or ordinary are blessed and favored by God. The same people that politicians ignore or vilify are highlighted as God's beloved people. So I want you to think again. Who are the saints who have impacted you in your life? Who are the saints who have loved you and taught you to love? Who are the saints that have inspired you to do good works in the world? Who are the saints whose examples of faithful living you remember with thanksgiving this All Saints Day? Go ahead and you can shout out some names again. Could be grandparents or family members, teachers, pastors. Okay. Who else?
Father David.
Father David.
Grandfather.
Yeah, grandmother. Great. This weekend I had the opportunity to attend a conference at my seminary about natural burial. It was a fascinating weekend, and I loved all the perspective and the voices that I heard. But one of the conversations that resonated most deeply with me was with a Latina Episcopal priest who was talking about the Latinx views of death and burial. She described how in many Latin American cultures, understandings of life and death are intimately connected, and that the people have a sense of continuing to be in relationship with loved ones who have died before them. She talked about how in many Latinx homes will have a commemorative shrine to people who are deceased ancestors or saints, much like the one we will have this morning commemorating the saints here in Wicker Park Lutheran Church, and who we will remember this day. We also talked about Dia de Muertos, the Day of the Dead, where Mexicans gather to pray for and remember their loved ones who have died. She described it as a sense of what the Celtic Christians might call a thin space, a time when the veil between the dead and the living seems especially permeable, and people can be in communion with their family and friends again. When I was hearing about this beautiful ritual about communing with the ancestors, I was struck that November 2nd, the last Day of the Dead, was also a day of mystical communion here throughout Chicago as well. The Cubs' miraculous victory in Game 7 of the World Series united the city to cheer for a single team, and the energy was electric. Diehard sports fans and bandwagoners, young and old, Cubs fans and even Sox fans, all united to cheer on the boys in blue in their quest to finally break the curse of that Billy Goat. But after the Cubs won, it soon became clear to me that this was all even bigger than I initially realized. I heard stories of feelings of intimate connection to relatives who were long past. I heard about the man who drove over 650 miles to listen to the final game at the grave of his dead father. I heard about how the facade of Wrigley Field quickly became a shrine to the countless fans that died before they could see the Cubs win another title, as family members chalked the names of loved ones onto the brick walls. The city has been caught up in the memories of those who waited these 108 years and who many believe are now celebrating with all the other Cubs fans in the next life. This palpable sense of this mystic communion with the departed has been unlike anything I've ever experienced before. It's as if all of Chicago has been experiencing a thin space these last few days. And yet we as Christians believe that we experience this type of thin space every time we gather around this table for Holy Communion. When we pray over the bread and the wine in a few minutes, we'll hear Pastor Jason say that we unite our prayers with those of all the saints. We believe that in this holy meal,
we join the saints of all time and all places in a mystical communion at the Lord's table. So it seems appropriate that our remembrance table for the saints of Wicker Park Lutheran Church is surrounding our table of Holy Communion to remember our loved ones who we join today at Christ's table, who that even though we cannot see them in the flesh, we trust that we can join them in praise and thanksgiving to our God who has redeemed us all and declared us to be holy and blessed saints. And though we may live imperfect and ordinary lives, we have the hope that we are and will be united with all the saints in glory through the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.